Hello, hello, and welcome to the Hollywood Outsiders special WandaVision After Ho. Today and each week after, we will be talking about WandaVision one episode at a time, what it means for the show, and also what it could mean for the MCU. These will be in the feed every Monday after a new episode, but if you support us on Patreon at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider, you will get early access by a few days. Now let's get on with the show. My name is Amanda Sink, and today I'm joined by my fellow guest ho, Vinny Schwartz.
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy, sir. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better now that things are moving along.
This episode is what you needed to get really invested, wasn't it?
This was the refresher. This is the, okay, it's Marvel. It's Marvel now. It's definitely weirdness, but it's Marvel.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who were not interested and invested in the sitcom type world and were getting a little impatient, like yourself.
I mean, I enjoyed the sitcom elements because, I mean, they did that really well. Those parts were done very well. It's just, I don't know, maybe I blame technology. I have a short attention span now.
Well, before we get into this, keep in mind we are full spoilers here. We are on episode 4. We're going to talk about what the hex is going on. We're going to discuss our overall thoughts on the episode. Obviously, we liked it, but also some of the key characters, the plot points that are really important, and dissect what's really going on. This is episode 4. We interrupt this program. It is written by Bobak Asfarjani. I am so sorry.
You did that so well.
Thank you. And directed by Matt Shakman. Vinny, let's talk a little bit about your feelings on this episode where Monica Rambeau, tasked with a special assignment regarding sentient weapons, goes missing. Basically, we get a lot of answers, right?
Yeah, it's definitely tying a lot of stuff together and finally giving you some answers, but also giving you more questions.
Isn't that fun? That's what Marvel likes to do.
Lots of fun. Oh, just leaving little things here and there, like, maybe you'll figure it out, maybe you won't. Maybe it'll be important in, like, 10 years, who knows?
Well, let's start with the beginning of this episode, where Monica, aka Geraldine, is coming back after the blip. We see her 2 years after it happens, and she, along with a lot of people, are returning into this hospital.
What do you think happens if someone gets unsnapped in the same space as someone's already standing? Do they form a whole new human being?
Together, they're joint?
Yep.
They're a joint human? Yep. I don't know. That would be weird.
Horrifying.
I would assume that, like, they would go next to them, like, directly next to them.
I had some of these questions with The Last Spider-Man, and now I just want, like, a short series about what happened just during and slightly after.
Yeah, we see a little bit more than we had seen previously in terms of the chaos and the reaction. And so that was kind of interesting and fun to see. But it would be more fun to play around with all of the intricacies of what this means for someone to be unsnapped, for the world to be unsnapped. Like your population, let's not even get into all your census data, screwed. It's done.
My number one would be what happened to all the people that got snapped in an airplane.
Oh, awkward. They're just in the air. They just fall down.
Yep, that's unfortunate.
Well, then we see Monica. We have confirmation that she works for S.W.O.R.D. and she's now working alongside the acting director, Tyler Hayward. It was a lot of fun seeing her mom in the background. I'm sure that was very special and touching for her to see her plaque along the wall with Photon in it, which is funny because that's one of the superhero names Monica goes by in the comics.
Yeah, and actually it turns out that her mother, at the very least, helped, if not spearheaded, the formation of S.W.O.R.D. probably after, you know, shape-shifting aliens showed up on her front door.
Yeah, that was probably definitely the height where she was like, yeah, this exists. Let's do something about that. And we have a lot of Captain Marvel references in this, from the drone colors that we see, which we'll talk about in a little bit, to the Maria Rambo references. And also at the very beginning, when we open the scene in the episode, we hear Captain Marvel's voice talking to Lieutenant Rambo. She says, Lieutenant Trouble.
Yeah, just audio lifted directly from Captain Marvel, pretty much.
Yeah. So one of her mother's protocols for vanished personnel returning is basically to put them on grunt work. Grunt work? What is the word for that?
Yeah, no, well, she basically grounded them. Like, they're not allowed to go into space and do missions, which I thought was interesting because I wonder if she thought maybe due to the nature of what happened, there would be some adverse side effects to people getting snapped and then maybe going into space and being introduced to some kind of cosmic radiation, which could be a potential lead up to maybe the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was even more simple than that. Just what happens if they snap again and they disappear again and they're in the middle of a mission out in space?
I mean, it could totally be something as simple and mundane as that, but who knows?
Wow. Way to just chop down my ideas. Rude. But basically, they say you're grounded. You're going to have to work on this FBI missing persons case. And that sounds pretty lame and boring for her, but she accepts it because her mom basically told her to. Even though she's not here anymore, we do have confirmation she's dead, by the way. She died 3 years ago. So it's a little sad for that moment, but because like Captain Marvel, you know, there's a definitive end for Maria's story. But at least she has some conclusion to her mom. So she goes on this mission. And it's hardly actually a mission, to be perfectly honest. It seems really boring. But then she meets Jimmy Woo from Ant-Man.
Still working on that business card flourish.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
But once she gets there, there's a lot of weird things happening in town of Westview, which apparently the sheriffs don't even believe exists. And they're from Eastview. And the whole thing is that they have a witness protection client who is in this weird space that you can see an energy field around, but it doesn't, as Jimmy says, as James Woo says, it has selection on who it wants to let in. And so it's really interesting when Monica decides to get closer to, that's her keyword of the day. We keep saying interesting. So have a shot every time we say that word. But when she goes, when she goes up to that energy field and she starts to put her hand in and she actually gets allowed to go through, she gets sucked in. I thought that was
interesting.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
What else would be interesting, because I'm a self-proclaimed big ol' nerd, constantly looking for anything and everything in the background. Some of it may not even be relevant, but the...
Are you going to talk about the numbers?
Yeah.
Yes!
I was going to say the quote-unquote Eastview Sheriff's Office squad car is numbered 1966. Notable happenings in Marvel in 1966. Vibranium debuts in Daredevil number 13. It's the first appearance of Sharon Carter. Tales of Suspense becomes Thor. The Fantastic Four introduced Black Panther. Hmm. And, the most interesting to me, it's the first appearance it's the first appearance of the Silver Surfer and Galactus in Fantastic Four 48.
See, I have a numbers thing too. Mine is related to Monica's sword vehicle. Did you catch that one? Did you find that one?
No, it's just a jumble of letters and numbers. I didn't bother with that.
So the numbers 8, 5, 1, 2 are on her sword vehicle, which could be a reference to the Vision and Scarlet Witch 12-issue limited series that started in 1985. In fact, WandaVision is actually pulling a lot of plot points from those comics, particularly the twins concept.
Interesting.
Yeah. Drink. So one thing that we should point out that we saw happen on one end of the spectrum that we see more on the back end now is that helicopter drone that goes through, and we just saw it in the bushes and it was colorized and Wanda had picked it up and it was this magical appearance of this object that shocked everyone. Well, now we know it's because Monica and Agent Wu were trying to see if they could get something through, and it disappeared on their end. But not before they capture a little bit of understanding that there is this energy field as it goes in. And it's fun because that is that the colors of it are Captain Marvel-esque. So that's a nice tie.
Another interesting, again, take a drink.
Okay, no. We got to stop. Now we got to stop. Now it's not even funny anymore. Now people are just like, please stop saying that word. I don't ever want to hear it again.
Another intriguing thing is that the force field kind of has that weird, like, staticky
like
sheen.
Like poltergeist
to it.
Thing?
No, like, it makes me think of those when we had tube televisions. If you got really close to the screen and, like, looked at an angle, you saw the red, blue, green lights kind of very faintly and, like, staticky along the edge of the actual screen. I don't know. Might be a coincidence or just some little fun detail. I don't know if it's that fun. I just thought it was interesting.
That word. So with everything crazy and weird and misunderstood, S.W.O.R.D. decides to call in Dr. I will repeat that again. Dr. Darcy Lewis from the Thor movies, played by Kat Dennings. She is an astrophysicist, whatever that means. Nobody really knows. And they're calling her along with a bunch of other people in to figure out what is actually going on with this Westview area because they can't figure it out. So they decide to get a specialist from each and every area and pull them in. And she happens to be one of them.
Whole clown car, as she put it.
She is so funny in this episode. God, I love her character and her portrayal. Did you like her?
I mean, yeah, she's pretty funny. I think it's small doses. She's good. Well, her character is good in small doses. I like Kat Dennings herself, but her character in Thor, a little bit much at sometimes.
Well, here I thought she was fantastic and perfect. But she starts going through all of her, I don't know, astrophysicist stuff and finds out that there is an enormous amount of CMBR, which stands for Cosmic Microwave Background Radiation. You big old nerd, you want to explain why this is important?
Well, I thought it was intriguing, not interesting, because it is the leftover radiation from the Big Bang. And as we learned, the Big Bang is what spawned the Infinity Stones. And one of those stones, the Mind Stone, is what gave Wanda and her brother their powers. So she's emitting so much power that it's giving off a noticeable dose of this same radiation that you would get from the stones or from the Big Bang.
Yeah, I'm sure that will end up being extremely prevalent and useful later on as this story develops.
You had some crazy theory that you came across or came up with or something about it?
So part of the theory that's lingering on the interwebs is that this radiation could be what empowers Khan and other Inhumans in the area because the fictional city of Westview is located in New Jersey, and Ms. Marvel just so happens to be famous for residing in Jersey City. So if you're not familiar, the Inhumans are a race of powered beings first introduced in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., something that the films of MCU have not necessarily looked into, so it's not 100% that this is something that they're going to embark on, but it is a potential in terms of what it means for those characters.
Well, they do have an Inhumans movie slated to come out somewhat soon, so we could have something there.
That's true, and maybe this all ties and connects in.
This is the kind of stuff I love about comic book movies and just shared universes like this is how everything connects and works together. And that's what makes stuff like the Avengers movies just that much better than standalones. Because you have all these big names just finally together on one screen. And I just go nuts for that kind of stuff.
Well, and part of it connects to Quicksilver, too. If they can manage to bring Quicksilver back, he does share an important connection to the Inhumans in the Marvel Comics going back to 1972. While they're on an adventure with the Avengers, Pietro becomes separated from the group. And then it's explained what happens to him in the Fantastic Four, where he was found in bad shape and saved by Crystal, who is the young sister-in-law of the inhuman king, Black Bolt. During that time, she nursed him back to health, and they grew close, fell in love, got married, and he ended up becoming a long-term resident of the Inhumans' home, playing a special key role in their stories. So it's all connected somehow.
Well, seeing that him and Wanda aren't considered mutants at this time due to previous legalities, they could be technically considered Inhumans at this point. They're just enhanced humans.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One thing, too, to point out that we figure out, because there's a few things that had happened in previous episodes, and there was a little bit of uncertainty of what it meant and who they were. And one of those was the Beehive Man. And that is actually fun to see kind of come alive, because this whole episode is great for that purpose in really getting context around what we see and how so much of the show is about what we see is not necessarily reality. It's all a matter of perceptions and in what view you're seeing that from. And so not only is the entire world of or town of Westview in that way because of Wanda, it's also these tiny little things that they want to put towards the audience. So we thought there was going to be something very horrific about this Beehive Man character. And it turns out it's really just this like sewer guy who's just crawling through from S.W.O.R.D., who's just trying to get into Westview Town through the sewer tunnels and happened to pop up.
Man, I'm just disappointed he's not some ridiculous supervillain named like Hive Mind or something.
Or the Grim Reaper. There were thoughts about that too.
Well, I mean, that guy's already a character, and like they just kind of offhandedly hinted at him. I don't know if he'll ever show up, but it was just more, I wanted this guy to be some goofy villain named Hive Mind or something like that, where he's just some dude that could literally controls bees, because that would have been ridiculous.
And a lot of people's worst nightmare. Like the Hollywood Outsiders host Aaron Peterson. His actual worst nightmare.
True.
Yeah.
And I didn't even want it to be a lot of bees either. He could have just controlled like seven.
Just seven?
Just seven bees.
Seven bees.
That do his bidding.
Do they get like giant size so then they can like just pick up and carry humans back? Nope. Or are they superpowered?
Nope, just seven regular bees that just fly around and like they all like struggle to like pick up stuff for him.
Oh my God. So they're not even like super cool. They're just regular old bees.
They're just regular bees, man.
So weird. The other thing that we found out was in the episode where Wanda is talking with Dottie. And fun little thing, we don't get any information about who she really is, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. The voice on the radio that came through that shocked Wanda and caused Dottie to, her glass broke in her hand and she was bleeding. That voice was confirmed to be Wu. Now that we know he's part of this, we just obviously wanted to wait for the formal confirmation. So now we have that. So that's kind of fun too.
And that's where we learn that from the outside, parts that Wanda or whoever doesn't necessarily like for the quote-unquote episode get censored.
Oh, yeah.
So when they have those skips, they're actually like moments missing in the episode.
Which was pretty fascinating because we had seen what happened. So we as the audience know that there's something missing. But Dr. Lewis Darcy, she doesn't realize that. She just knows that there's like a weird skip in the show. And I love that everybody is actually invested in the show. Like people are now watching this like, oh, this is happening for Wanda and Vision. Yay.
Specifically Dr. Lewis.
Yes, I can relate. And then as we progress through, there's the whole story with Geraldine / Monica Rambeau. When she's in there, they finally spot her, which is what their mission turned into, is trying to find Rambeau. And she is having that conversation with Wanda where she brings up Ultron, which at that point, there had not been a reference to the actual reality in the show from Wanda's show. And we get to see a little bit of the darkness behind Scarlet Witch as we hadn't seen before. where she confronts Geraldine about why she's talking about Ultron and what she knows and who she is. And she tells her, you're not my neighbor, you're not my friend, you're a stranger and you're trespassing here. And I want you to leave. And she powers up those magic hands and plunges her through three walls of concrete in a giant field, which is when we saw her falling to the ground and those agents swarmed around her. That was from Wanda just literally kicking her ass out.
She got yeeted.
She got yeeted indeed.
And another interesting moment, because it's the first time we actually see her powers manifest in the show.
Yeah.
Like before, it's been like the quirky sitcom style where you can tell it's things like moving around on strings or what have you. There's no real like, there's no movie tie into her actually using her powers how she normally would. But this time she actually conjures the red orbs again to fling Monica out of her reality. And then realizing what she's done, she starts to rebuild her house.
Yeah.
Which we kind of get another glimpse into how she can actually manipulate things. Like, it's not like she just takes the bricks and stacks them up and, like, throws paint on it and it looks janky, but it's back. But she actually mends everything. So she actually has agency in this world like we thought she would, where she's actually manipulating and creating things.
Yeah, it shows the level of power that she has, which I think in some ways has been underestimated, particularly by S.W.O.R.D., because they did not understand just how powerful and emotionally distraught she was until this moment. And I do want to point out one of the things that relates to Monica and her powers in the comics is that in the comics, her powers allow her to turn into energy, which could be a reason why she was able to get through that energy field, Wanda's field, to get into the world.
I thought about that too, but I mean, the other S.W.O.R.D. agent made it through, and the beekeeper one.
Yeah, that's true.
He made it through fine.
We don't know who he is, though, other than Agent Franklin. Maybe he does have powers, Vincent.
Yeah, to control seven bees to do his bidding. He's the hive mind. Sorry. That's what he sounds like in my brain.
Ridiculous.
I need to call someone about this real quick.
So as they start breaking down in full Charlie Day mode, what is happening? They have their whiteboard. They're trying to figure out who is who. And I'm just going to give a quick little rundown of who the characters are. So Mr. and Mrs. Hart is, quote unquote, played by Todd and Sharon Davis. And fun fact about Sharon Davis, that is one of the art directors of the actual show.
That's nice.
Very meta. Yeah. Norm is played by Abhilash Tandon. Did I say that wrong?
I mean, it doesn't sound right, but I can't exactly correct you.
Because you're
moment.
Also partly white. Yeah. So it's not just me.
Or I just don't remember.
I don't either. That's part of the thing, man. So then we have Jones, who's played by Harold Copter. Beverly, played by Isabel Matsuri. Herb, played by John Collins, which is another art director for the actual show. The fun part is we don't have a file on Agnes. They didn't even mention her, but they did put her face up there and she is nameless, which I think lends to the credibility of the Agnes being Agatha Harkness theory. Nor do we get anything about Ralph. Ralph was mentioned so many times, and yet we have nothing to see of him.
Nope, we just get awful stories about how he is just the worst.
He's the devil, you know?
The worst.
See what I did there? Okay. We also didn't have any information on Dottie, which I thought was another key point to bring up.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That is a good point. Which kind of lends to the part where her hand does get cut and it's her blood actually shows up red. And yeah. A lot of things back when it was in black and white that showed up in color were things that were not exactly within Wanda's scope. Like either they were from outside of her immediate reality, or they're things that she doesn't fully know what they are.
Yeah. And then on the whiteboard for Wu, he's writing down all of the things that we don't know, which is fun because it's stuff we don't actually know also. And that is why the hexagonal shape, which is visually seen in many different ways, but also the force field from Wanda, we get a glimpse of that and we see that she has this hexagonal shape. So why that? Is it just simply a tie to the word hex, which has to do with her magic? Or is there something more behind that?
Yeah, it's about the most I could find. Because that question stood out the most to me. Like, oh yeah, why is that? Because it does show up a lot.
It's prominent. You know, there's got to be a reason behind it. I think even beyond the hex.
Right. And I'm sure we'll get some kind of answer eventually. But at the moment, it's coincidental, which most of the time is never coincidental in MCU properties.
Well, and it could be a signal of the big WandaVision villain theory has everything to do with hexagons.
Well, there's a theory that, you know, hex, of course, sounds like Wanda's ability to hex. It has six sides, you know, 666, Mephisto's Marvel Devil. But I don't know. I don't really like that one. It doesn't seem to kind of gel with most of Marvel's like little hints that they like to drop here and there. I think it's a little too forced, but I don't know. Could possibly be what they're pointing at, but I don't think they need to do that.
Maybe your beehive mind guy is still going to happen because they are made up of a bunch of hexagons.
Yes, this is all a ploy by Hive Mind. He's the true
Hive Mind.
He's going to be the MCU's next big bad. Just watch. You thought Thanos was bad. Wait till Hive Mind just strolls in, kicks everyone's ass with his seven bees.
A few other things that they had on the board about what we don't know is why sitcoms, and likely not just for Dr. Lewis's pleasure, which I thought was so adorable.
Yeah, this whole, when they finally realize it's a show, it just gets real meta and it's real weird.
Yeah. Well, and also the credits on the Wanda and Vision show is names from the actual crew of WandaVision.
Right.
It's super meta. They really went all for it. It feels very Nick Cage. And the two other things that what we don't know is same time and space, ? Is Vision alive? ? And that leads us to probably, I would say, one of the biggest moments in this episode, aside from Monica realizing it's all Wanda, is when she plunges, just yeets Monica out of her house, and Vision comes back inside. When she sees him, he is the same Vision from Infinity War. So part of it is starting to seem like we're breaking down the reality that either she's weekend with Bernie-ing him, or it's all just a fabrication.
I'm glad you said that, because in my notes I just have sees Vision as dead. Flashback or corpse puppet? ?
I like corpse puppet.
Yeah. A little more morbid, but yeah, that was my thought exactly. Is this just like a flashback because she had that, now she's starting to get her actual reality bleeding into this fantasy world that she made? Or is that actually him and she's just kind of puppeting him around subconsciously with her magic?
I feel like it's more the fabrication of reality, or she's created a likeness of him because his eyes are different. I don't know if this, because I don't think we've pointed this out, but his eyes are more human-like, whereas in the movies, they were much more android-like. So to me, it lends that this is not his actual body. This is just a manifestation of either what she wants him to be, or she's using someone else and shaping them into Vision's likeness.
That is interesting. And he does have a moment where he didn't have this in the previous episode that we saw, where he tells her that they don't have to do this and that they could leave.
Yeah.
Which is a really odd moment, because it's another one of those very few moments where someone, including Vision, kind of has self-awareness and suggest that they could just stop doing this and leave this fake utopia. But she reassures him that they can't, that this is their home now.
And that she has, quote unquote, everything under control.
Right, which further points to she's doing all this. She's making this entire world the way she wants.
Yeah, I do feel like this Vision talking to her and suggesting they leave is actually more just her subconscious, like a piece of herself speaking to herself.
Through his corpse puppet body.
Yeah, through his corpse puppet body. Just because it's something that she might say to herself. But then the other part of her is like, no, I want to be here. I'm building this world for me. This is where my happiness is. And I am starting to get deeply concerned what's going to happen in the next episode, potentially, when someone tries to remove her from her world or something happens to her children. Chaos is going to flood the entire world.
The only thing that kind of stops me from being like, yeah, it's just going to be all bad. At the end, it's going to be real bad. It's going to, her reality is going to break. She's going to lose someone. She's going to lose Vision or her kids or both. And she's not going to be able to take it. And literally, reality's going to crack with her. The only thing that stops me from being like, yep, that's what's going to happen, is literally, thanks to awful pandemic reasons, most of Marvel's movies have been pushed a bit. So as long as they're okay with this gap in between this show and the Doctor Strange and or Spider-Man crossover, then yeah, that's probably where they're going, where she's literally going to shatter reality and create cracks into other dimensions, and Doctor Strange is going to have to clean up her mess.
How long do you think until we see him? Because I think we're both in agreement that he's going to make an appearance. I really, really believe that he's going to be, this is obviously going to kick off his film.
Thanks to real world leaks, Bendy Bar Cumbersnatch has been confirmed that he's going to be reprising his role as Doctor Strange for this show. So somewhere towards the end, I mean, within the last episode or two, he'll probably show up after all hell breaks loose.
And maybe that's what his film is about.
I kind of see just everything going bad. And she just can't take any more of this. And she, like I said, just reality breaks. And it's going to create rifts into other dimensions. And it's going to create some kind of crazy calamity where maybe the next big bad, like Galactus or whoever, just kind of sees the opportunity to come over into their dimension or something like that. And then Doctor Strange decides he's got to clean up this mess and get everything back to somewhat normal.
It's also called the Multiverse of Madness. So, right. I mean, not to say that there isn't, obviously there's multiverses already integrated into MCU, but that could lend itself a little bit more to having a lot more to do with Wanda and WandaVision than originally anticipated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just off a name alone, I'm super stoked for Doctor Strange and Thor. Just the names alone, I'm in.
Well, let's head into the Vision, which is what we see going forward and how it connects to the MCU. Vinny, what do you think's going to happen? What do you think is going on here that we haven't already gotten some information about?
So I think going forward, we're going to see more and more of that unraveling, where especially now that S.W.O.R.D. is caught up and they know the situation, and this could potentially be a catastrophic event that they're going to want to snap Wanda out of this and or contain her or something of that matter. So they're going to be working throughout the rest of the show to basically shut down this little whatever's going on to prevent some kind of major meltdown, because as Dr. Lewis mentioned, the radiation levels are at acceptable levels for now, but they could literally explode. So we're going to see the eventual ramp up of her perfect little world start to come undone and her own emotions and feelings start to slowly kind of take over and cause things to just go downhill.
One of the connections that I think is really fascinating, and it's just a theory and a concept, is the potential Fantastic Four connection. The blue, black, and white sword color scheme could be teasing that connection, especially when Hayward and Monica are having that conversation about an astronaut training program that apparently isn't going very well.
Right, and that's how they got their powers, is they go into space, get bombarded with, not super well versed in the Fantastic Four, but they get bombarded with some kind of cosmic energy rays, what have you, which causes them to change and get powers. So that could very well be...
Them introducing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Any other thoughts or theories that you wanted to mention before we close out this episode?
I mean, no, we covered everything pretty well. And things are starting to really pick up now. So I'm real excited for the next episode.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm excited to see how dark they're going to take Scarlet Witch. Because she can go very, very dark in terms of her emotions overwhelming her and ruling her to a capacity. Because her magic is so innately tied to her emotions. We'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, good thing she loves Vision so much. Otherwise, you know, sometimes wives are just like, I swear to God, sometimes I could just tear your head off and then accidentally, whoop, there it goes. Just twist.
That would be hilarious, though.
That would be dark.
That would be real dark, but also really funny.
Real dark.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Hollywood Outsiders WandaVision After Ho. You can find all of our content, including interviews, reviews, podcasts at thehollywoodoutsider.com and on your favorite podcast app. Don't forget to subscribe to The Hollywood Outsider if you're not a subscriber already, so that way you can get episodes the moment they are released. And if you didn't know, subscribing is free. And don't forget to sign up for Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider so that way you can get instant access to all of the respective content. Not only do we have early access to these WandaVision episodes, but there's also special episodes for Bad Movie Night, where we take movies that we think are not as bad as other people say, and we talk about them, and special bonus episodes. So make sure you hop on for that extra content. You can visit our social channels at BuyPopcorn on Twitter, at The Hollywood Outsider on Instagram, and we're also on Facebook with a fantastic group of like-minded movie and TV fueled individuals. So go on Facebook and join The Hollywood Outsiders group. That's going to do it for this episode. And remember, the next time you watch WandaVision on your couch, buy popcorn.
You just bought,
there's like Shipt, there's Instacart, there's so many ways you can buy popcorn from your couch. Okay. Or just buy it from your theater and pick it up.
But the no.
Yes, yeah, support your theater, man.
No, it's gonna get stale by then. That's not any...
You're not any good.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Let's get out of here before you get a good comeback.
I'm done. This podcast is over. It's canceled. Done.